Okay, we were in Hilchos Kriya. We were up to Sif Test. There's a lot of Sifim to cover, and you can ask questions, but don't ask silly questions. And remember that most of this is not, you should never ask silly questions, but this is not halach, very little of this actually comes up halach l'maisim. Al-Kolak Amesim Sif Test, Korea Alav Tefach Bebegara Elyon Vidayo. You Korea one Tefach and Begara Elyon. Al-Ava V'imo Korea Kobegada V'afilu Lavush Asara. And I may have pointed this out, but I'll point it out again because I struggled with this for years, but I finally looked back at the Gemara, and the Gemara is definitive. The structure of the statement follows the Torah's presentation, and it's a misleading presentation because it's an ABBA presentation. I'll call Amesim Korei Lav Tefach, which is the shear of the Korea, and Bebeged Elyon, which is which Beged or Begad them you tear. The Al-Ava V'imo Korea Ko Begadav Afilu Lavash Asara, and that is which begad them you tear, ad shemegal libo. It is possible to misread, I know people who have, and I struggle with this for a while, that ad shemegal es libo is just you tear all your begad them, megal es libo. It's a figurative, it doesn't mean you actually have to tear more than a tefach. There are some makoros, I haven't finished fleshing this out, but I'm not going to do this now, which almost mashma, that in Hanami, there is only a shear of tefach, even for Ava V'imo. You read the Gemara, it's clearly wrong. And Afchabez, when the Gemara presents the differences, it's virtually black on white. These are two different things. There is Tefach versus Ad Shemegal Libo, and then there's Beged Elyon versus Kol Begadav. Danny?
So, for the... In terms of the Talis Katan, which people are frequently wear under their shirts.
Yeah.
So, first of all...
I think the minhag is not to be Korea. It's a machlokas.
Except for the fact that very frequently it doesn't even start until, like, in other words, like, the whole...
Oh, the way, it depends on if it's a V-neck as opposed to a closed thing.
Right, but like, in the event that, like, there is a V-neck, like, I mean, it's not a Begad Zeh. I mean...
So, I think the minhag is not to tear the tzitzis. Practically speaking, just understand what the conceptual... Let's go to Sif Yud for a moment.
Why wouldn't one tear tzitzis?
Why wouldn't one
tear... If it's not a Begad, then you should be wearing tzitzis.
But you would say it's not really a regular Begad either. It's really for the purposes of mitzvah. Right, our tzitzis do not serve for the purposes of kisui in any form or fashion. That most begadim, a Begad Zeh is presumed to absorb the sweat. The Begad Elyon we don't count either. That's lachavod. The begadim that you wear, which are the ones that provide you basic covering, provide you basic warmth. Right, the tzitzis are not there for that purpose. They're there only for the kiyum hamitzvah. Right, if you had a regular begad, if you were Yol Benun, for example, right, and you had your suit jacket and you had the seams cut all the way up, so you had arba kanfos and you put tzitzis on it, you would tear that begad. But I think our talis katan is not clear that it's a real begad in a certain sense. So the mechaber finishes this. V'imlo kara kol begadav lo yatzav v'gormbu v'chosman she'osav begadav omim lo kara afilu v'achar shloshim. And I always had the following question. The answer is no, but I don't know why no. Apparently, according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you fail to tear a begad that you were wearing at the time you mechuyev to be korea for a parent, so we tell you, even after Shloshim Yom, that you mechuyev to be korea that begad. So I had the following question, and this sounds crazy. Supposing...
Is it that particular begad, or you could tear any begad?
No. After 30 days, it has to be that begad. Why would you mechuyev yemachlef? Why would you tear the other begad?
If you haven't torn kriya yet, then...
I think that's only if you haven't torn... In other words, I don't think it's just one begad. I think it's dafka, the begad that you wear. If you never tore kriya once, then you're supposed to tear for... Well, the question's going to be the same question, by the way. It's going to be the very same question, which is the following. Suppose you have someone who's a Baal Shuvah, and they never sat Shiva. So it's too late to sit Shiva. You don't... their parent died 10 years ago. But let's say they didn't tear kriya. And let's say, so two questions, I never thought to ask a question. Let's say they went to the thing where they tore a tie. A tie is Kriya, not Yotze Kriya on a tie. And let's just put that out there for the moment. So the question is, A, are they mechuyev to tear Kriya then? Because it's like Shashmu. Now they knew the parent died already, but they hadn't torn Kriya. And so you mechuyev to tear Kriya, la'olam. Number one. Number two, putting that question aside, let's say they still have the begadim that they were wearing during the Shiva. And they didn't tear Kriya, and mechuyev to tear all those begadim. And if not, why not? I think I asked him 2 years ago. He didn't have it. I mean, we don't tear Kriya for that. I don't know why, but we don't. It's a good question. Yossi?
The point is that you tear Kriya on the clothing that you were wearing.
Correct. And it's v'chol zman she'osa beged olav omim lo kara fi l'lach ha'shloshim. Yeah.
So if you would throw out, if he didn't
That'd be a different story. So again, in most cases, maybe he doesn't know which thing he was wearing, and it's bought double robe, and it's this, and it's that. He doesn't have the shirt. The shirt's worn out by now, and so on. The suit's worn out by now. But the question, let's say he didn't tear at all. I'll take a din. I'll push that question. He never tore kriya. So is it mechuyev to tear kriya, Jacob?
Could it be that it's all the while that he has not taken off that bag at once? Like, it's being in time, but they only had like one or two garments. Because one should also have made a love.
The body shall entertain that possibility.
What I said or what he suggested?
Both. He leaves it to Sarachian.
He asked my question.
Not your question specifically, but that versus...
You mean if he hasn't, only if he hasn't taken it off?
He says it's possible that...
Okay, so you... Right, so if it were Shar Krovim, I understand. Because Shar Krovim, there's never a Chiyuv on a specific... See, ironically, by Shar Krovim, there isn't necessarily a Chiyuv Kriya on a Beged, because you can tear any Beged that you're wearing, assuming it fits in the criteria. And even if you only happen to be wearing one Beged that was eligible for Krumitzis Kriya, and you should have torn that one, it still may not be Chal on the Beged. I would assume by Shar Krovim, if you decide to be Machlef and you didn't tear one, and now you tear the new one you put on, we don't make you go back, and we don't tell you you should have torn the one, go back now and tear the first one. Now, by Ava V'Imo, ironically, it seems to, on the one hand, it's a Chovas Gavra because it exists forever, but on the other hand, it's a Chovas HaBeged, because if you're wearing multiple Begadim, and even after the Shas Kriya, when it should have been, Afilu Achar Shloshim, and I don't assume, by the way, so I tell you why I think this is Chal on the Beged. There's a three-way Machlokas HaRishonim, when you tear a Kriya for a parent. By Shar Krovim, you have to tear, when you hear, by Shar Krovim, if you hear after 30 days, you don't tear any Kriya. That's the Gemara Masechet. By a parent, there are three Shitos in the Rishonim. Some say that it's the same day as other Krovim, if you have to hear within 30 days. Some say it has to be within Yud Beis Chodesh, and some say you're Korei La'olam, and that's the way we paskin. Right, but according to the Man Amar, that when the Shulchan Aruch says he has to be Korea, afilu la'achar shloshim, so by a parent, what does Kriya mean? According to the one Shita, the most Makel Shita, even though we don't pass in that way, what does it mean to be Korea la'achar shloshim? The answer is it has to be a Chovas HaBeged. Unless you say, and I don't have any indication to think so, that this Sif is only, the Mechaber is only paskening the Shitaso, when we say Kol Zman Shos HaBeged Olav Afil Achar Shloshim is only the Shitaso that you tear Kriya on a parent La'olam, or certainly after Shloshim Yom, right? But here I assume firstly Shloshim Yom is not limited to Shloshim, I assume it's even your base Chodesh, right? So you're going to say this is only according to the Man Dama that you Korea La'olam. Now, I know we pask in that way, but still I don't think so.
Is it that crazy proposition?
I would have expected the comment to be made. A link had been drawn between the two issues, and I'm pretty sure it's not drawn. So it sounds to me like it's a Chovas HaBeged. Right, so that's why, you know, Kol Zman Shos HaBeged Olav. So I just read that line to mean if he throws away the shirt or he doesn't wear the shirt anymore, there's no point in tearing Kriya on a shirt you don't wear. But it means if you want to put the shirt on, now you have to tear Kriya because that shirt when worn is Mechuyev B'Kriya. That's what I thought. But the minhag is clearly not, people don't even tear Kriya later if they. I don't think anybody, I've never heard anybody suggest that someone who becomes a Baal Teshuva and then their parent died years before and they never did a real Kriya, assuming they never did a real Kriya when their parent passed away, that they should do Kriya then. I don't know.
Isn't it harsher that they should?
I think so.
Whether or not you need it on the same, like the same shirt, you could say, maybe
Let's just say to tear Kriya on some,
yeah,
one Kriya.
Isn't that the opinion that the base of safe in the Torah Paschal like, that we do Kriya like?
I know. So the difference between the two, I'll tell you the difference, but the difference shouldn't matter. The difference is that one, the Shah Shmua was only came a year later or 2 years later. Whereas in our case, what do you mean? The Shah Shmua was 10 years ago. Right, so up you didn't, it doesn't matter. If you didn't tear then, it would seem that even though you delayed your Kriya, you should still tear Kriya now. Because it's not, the reason the Ramban in Taras Adam is Machriya, like the last Shita, why? Because he says it's ain't a bedin that a person should tear Kriya on a parent. And that far is equally shayach for someone who wasn't observant and didn't tear Kriya, b'shas maisa, and now is tearing Kriya later. I don't think it's, Is it the practice and nobody, I'm just not aware of it because why would I know about it? Or is it not the practice because nobody's thought about it? I have no idea. I'm just not under the impression that that's the practice. Okay,
There's no chalos man when the person becomes a Baal Teshuva also.
There's what?
There's no chalos shame when a person becomes a Baal Teshuva that all of a sudden...
I agree. It's not like gayers that you're converting in this particular moment, but I would think someone would have thought that it, as part of the... When you have Q of organizations and they teach people, so maybe one, I mean, It's not the most appealing thing to teach people, I guess. I mean, it's not warm and fuzzy and a beautiful experience and so on, although it's an essential part of the halachic and Jewish experience. So I just don't know if anybody's ever thought about it. It's conceivable nobody's thought about it. I'm the first Meshuggah who's thought about it. Yes, Matt. No, but I think that, let's say a person hears about a parent and doesn't tear kriya, so I would say this, I mean, that's what the Shulchan is still mechuyev to tear kriya later. So in this case, he didn't tear kriya because he didn't have a beged, either that was his, or he didn't have a beged that he could, he had no begadim that were terrible, or he just didn't tear. And so if you tell him later, you still have to tear. Right? So, unless you say that it's a chovas habegin and chovas habegin or shashmua. So then it would be limited to a case that if the guy had the beged that he wore at the time his parent passed away 10 years ago, he still had that shirt and he might wear it now. So if he's going to put that shirt on, we tell him, now you have to do kriya because it's a chovas habegin. I don't know. Okay, let's move on. Sif Yud. This is actually one of the most important sif in the simen, is what the uter. So the Gemara said, afar kasuso eno tzarech lekrela. The Gemara says that Afar Keses is not Ma'akeves Esakriyas. It's the Machlokas Arishonim, the Ravid is from the Ravid thinks from the Gemara that it's not Ma'akeves Esakriya, means that you should tear it, but it's not Ma'akev. Let's say a parent, where you're supposed to tear all the Begadim, so the Ravid says, it's not Ma'akev the Kriya, but really you're supposed to tear it. The Ramban and the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch is, it's not only Eina Ma'akeves Esakriya, there's no mitzvah in tearing it whatsoever, right? It's a pointless, it's not a beged that's subject to kriya. Now, it's important to remember that because whenever we talk about deciding whether a beged has to be torn or not, a beged falls into one of three halachic categories. Either you have to tear it, or it's not a mitzvah to tear it at all, it doesn't qualify, or it's a suffix. It's important to recognize that middle category of suffix because it's not shayach just to be machmir, because every chumrah ends up leading to kula. And in that particular case, if you tear such a beged, people will then decide that when one of their shar krovim dies, where you only have to tear one beged, they'll tear that beged, but you might not have been yotzei chovas akriya, because you're only yotzei chovas akriya if you tear a beged that's mechuyev bekriya. So if you were to tear your undershirt, let's say as a chumrah, let's say like the ravid, okay, and that's a position, we reject that ravid. But let's say you adopt that position, so it's nice that I'll love the emo, you're just adding a chumrah. But then someone's going to say, okay, now a person says, my brother died, so I'll tear my undershirt. And the answer is, no, that's no good, because you did tear kriya. Because tearing an undershirt is not tearing kriya, because afar kesis is not kriya. So that's one point. So we paskin, so you always have to be careful about that, about when you do kriya on something, you have to know whether it's really chayiv in kriya. The second question, of course, is what, and we assume the afar kesis is not b'chal kriya at all. What is the afar kesis? So this was a machlokas of Rishonim. Some Rishonim said, Rashi said, it was some type of, really it was in a beged elyon, it was something he wore on his head that draped down a little bit, it was a little like a headdress or something like that. The Aruch, I think, says it's the beged zeya. Rav Shechter told me he didn't agree with this. And I think it's explicitly not so, I can't believe this is really true. But that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that we today a shirt is a beged zeya.
This shirt.
We change it every day. And then Rav Shechter thought, he said to me, that Rav Aaron had some very interesting shittos, but then some told him, the Rav said the same thing. So the truth is, I don't understand this at all. If you read the Makoros carefully, if you actually look at the way they define the Beged Zeah, I don't mean just because the Shulchan Aruch has had Davuk Levzara, I don't have this torn day says in front of me, but it's clear that the reason you don't tear a Beged Zeah is because the purpose of the Beged Zeah is to absorb the Zeya. That's what its purpose is. I wear an undershirt sometimes because I want to keep me warmer, and it has the advantage of it keeps your shirt crisper, right? Because it absorbs the sweat instead of your shirt absorbing the moisture from your body. I don't, even if I'm not wearing an undershirt, I don't wear my shirt just to absorb the sweat. If for some reason it were a really cold day, right, I wouldn't come into shiur wearing a suit without anything on, you know, just my talis katam. Because after all, I'm not sweating today, so I don't need another shirt. And I don't need my beged zeah either. That's ridiculous. I wear the shirt because that's part of my formal dress. It may, if I happen not to be wearing an undershirt, it may be that it does have the effect of absorbing the zeah. But that's not the purpose of the shirt. The fact that I change it every day, so what? That might matter in terms of, if you want to talk about on Tisha B'Av, the 9 days and washing and the expectation of needing, even there it's not so pashut that you might still say it doesn't matter since it's used for dress, you don't wash it. Or there you could say because it's the kind of thing you regularly machle, if you don't have enough of them, you have to wash them. Right? Maybe you have to figure out why big days there might be different in certain contexts in terms of washing them or laundering them. But in our context, the person of Avelis, you don't tear the undershirt because it's not a garment. It's just that it's there just to absorb sweat. The shirt is actually a beged in the classic sense. It's there for showing. And in fact, it produces the interesting absurdity because Rav Shechter questioned, and I don't think, I would tell you to be choshesh for this, he's not sure that the suit jacket qualifies for Tikriya because he said that the suit jacket might be a beged onion. He said because this is machlokas achronim seems that a beged which is only there for kavod because you walk around in public, it's not dignified to walk without it. So he said, in private, people take off their, you know, you get into the office, you take off your suit jacket. I think that, I'm not so sure about that. The minhag olam certainly I think is on avivim, certainly tear the suit jacket, but I would tell you that on Shai Krovim, the beged that you should tear is the shirt, not the suit jacket. But if you're going to adopt all these positions together, there's no kriya left to tear. Because your undershirt, okay, I'll leave out the talis katan here. Okay, your undershirt and your shirt, that's a big desire. Your suit jacket, well, that's just the beged shel kavod. That's like the sarabel elyon. So what's left to tear? The air? Okay, so the answer is, I think it's a double pashut, or Shafta thought so. That you tear the shirt is a regular bag. I think that it will also be, you know, many a time you walk, if you're wearing a suit, you walk around and you wear the suit jacket. I'm not saying never take it off, but so I think the practice is accepted that these are the two garments, the shirt and the suit jacket. Theoretically, if you're wearing a sweater too, I think. Most people are not usually wearing a sweater at that time. I think that would also. But as we'll see, I'm going to read this sif. I'm not going to read the whole, you should look at the shach and tie, the shach and the taz, but I'm sort of giving you, I think it is lamaisa. If you're wearing a raincoat or you're wearing an outer coat so that you don't tear, that's the sarabel ha'elyon. Even if it's a beged shel kavod, talis gadol, you certainly don't tear in the same category. It's sort of not part of your clothing. It's the robes that you put on. You don't tear those. So you tear, I would say, from the suit jacket down to the shirt, and if there's anything in between, right? If you're wearing a three-piece suit, I guess that you probably should tear the vest as well, on a parent, right? But if you're dealing with Shach Krovim, my advice would be tear the shirt. That should be, leaving aside Rav Aaron's Salvechik's Shita, the shirt is the beggar that you tear. Matt?
Right, so what's the reason for a parent when you're doing both?
Parent, you tear all the begadim? That's a din. Parent, you tear all the begadim. Right, but when you're dealing with Shach Krovim, you have to tear something. You could, even let's say you weren't sure this beged counted. Nonetheless, by a parent, you could tear the shirt in this. But you don't want to do it if you really misupak about the suit jacket, is you don't want to tear it for Shach Krovim and be the only beged that you tore, because then maybe you want your Tzichova Sakriya.
And then all beged would be like winter, you're wearing your overcoat, and then you're wearing a suit, and then you're wearing a shirt, so you would have to do the overcoat.
No, I said the overcoat, the beged elyon. It's not. Athin?
Why aren't pants considered a beged for this case?
No,
I'm serious. I don't think pants.
Conceptually speaking, firstly, you have to tear from the collar. What are you going to do on your pants?
Okay.
Secondly, I think that conceptually the way we kind of look at it is that we wear an outfit together. We wear pants and a top. So they go together. So this is if a person is tearing certainly the suit, but maybe even the shirt, it's like they tore the top part of the beged.
Yeah,
I could give you the alternative answer. It's the same question as the question of why do firemen wear red suspenders?
So
their pants won't fall down. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
They
didn't. I know, but he's asking the question. We are modern, and we believe in updating halacha to reflect modern realia. So therefore, we don't pretend we're living in the world of 200 years ago. So therefore, we should tear our pants too. I don't know. We don't tear the pants. It's not the minute. I've never seen. I'm afraid I shouldn't even post the recording now because somebody, it's going to be the new part of the Chumrah of the Month. Somebody, in fact, we should tear our pants. And so you want the halachic reason, the answer is because it doesn't have a collar. Right? You have to tear kome safa. There's no kome safa on the pants.
So if you're wearing one of those
jumpsuit?
Overalls. That's the kasha. That you should have asked me. What about the, but the overalls don't have a collar.
There's also no collar.
There's no collar. I said there's no collar. Yeah, so.
What if
you develop a new style? What?
Let's say you're wearing the
Wendy's
onesies.
One piece pajamas.
One
piece,
baby wears.
Why wouldn't make adult onesies?
The
Megadol.
The Megadol of the Kohen Gadol.
The
Megadol of the Kohen Gadol doesn't have a collar.
What?
The Megadol of the Kohen Gadol doesn't have a collar.
Of course it did.
Cool?
Do you ever read the Chumash? Safoye Safoye Latif Saviv Lo Yikare.
Okay. Was it? No, they're
I can add that one up. Add that one up with the kind of woman being a nazir question.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I was not thinking that because, like, it said something about the color. Was there? If you have a bag of it,
it wasn't the white strip of a collar around. Yes, that's true. It was chaylas.
If you have a baguette that like bedaka doesn't have, that only has like a neck hole, right? But doesn't have a.
Every shirt, my undershirt has a collar.
Doesn't have to. If you have like a two, in other words, if you have like two.
It doesn't have. It's not the formal collar. It means, I think, from the tzavor.
Okay.
Right. It's not. It's not the formal collar. Virtually everything does for the same reason the me'il has one. Lo yikarea. Okay. Anyway,
right,
so...
I was bedapka, like, going for the meal because, like...
Okay, Yossi.
Just to clarify, for Avi, you know, you tear everything, including, like, it's there.
No. It doesn't matter. It's called Gila Halev. You know, the Yeshach and Sifkatan Chafbeis points out that when a woman tears kriya, even though she's wearing begadzeh, it's still pritos, right? Not to sew it up. Right? So, whatever. It's megal libo is enough if you get down to the underwear layer. Matt?
There used to be dress shirts where they had multiple collars. So, what would be torn?
How were they removed? How were they attached?
I think it was fastened somehow. I mean, you had your regular shirt without a collar, and then you put a collar on it. Because your collar gets dirty, so you just throw out the collar.
I mean, the question is, you're asking me, do you have to tear out the collar?
So
I'll tell you why I think you don't tear the collar. You don't have to, but it doesn't accomplish anything tearing the collar. Because if you're korea mitocha melel or mitocha shalol or mitocha anything but ichui alexandri, which is like full sewing up, you're not yotzi the kriya, because it's not called mechubar. Right, so in other words, if a person had a kera that they sewed up, if they did it Yichui Alexandri, then you can tear kriya through that kera. That's like tearing a new kera. But if it's not, then it's not called tearing kriya. So I would almost imagine, it's not identical, but conceptually, if the collar is just attached and detachable and meant to be done, it's not really part of the beged, it's a separate beged. Right, and therefore it doesn't count. And therefore you have to tear ridafka through the main part of the shirt. I guess you could, yeah. I would think so. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says, "Afar kasuso ein etzorach l'kora yesh mefarshim b'zuh beged azeya hadavuk livisaro," and that's the Aruch. "V'yesh mefarshim dainu beged ein shakorin kafa." That's not Rashi, that's this beged, which I don't know exactly what it was, that's discussed extensively in the Beis Yosef. "V'pasha anaminik shalo l'kora kafa al shumeis afilo avavi imo v'lekora avavi imo gama cholik shakorin kamiza." So I don't really know what these begadim exactly are. Maybe if someone wants to go and study a sartorial manner of 16th century Tzfat and Poland. But these actually Ashkenazi, I think.
A kamisa is a shirt in Spanish. I don't know if that means it.
So what does that, I know, but what does that, is that what it is? Maybe. Okay. That would make sense, actually. Where was Yosef Caro from?
Turkey.
Spain. I don't remember where he was born, but his family's from Spain. So he was probably knew Spanish. Okay, there you go. Except for, where does this come from? Because apparently it's in the Kobo in the name of Rabosa Vaposkim and the Smach, who would not have spoken Spanish. But I don't know. Maybe it is a shirt. Anyway, so bottom line is, in our context, from the undershirt we don't tear, the shirt we tear, the suits, unapparent, you would tear. You wouldn't tear the raincoat on top. Okay, but Medinos Eilu, the Ramah says, "Einong and Kenel Ein Kor Nachalik Shal Pishtad Shubeged Azeh V'lo Asarbel Elyon Al V'Sharbe Gadav Korea Bo V'Ima V'Sharmei Sim Amalbo Shal Elyon Tachas Asarbel." The Amalbo Shal Elyon Tachas Asarbel, I think, is a suit jacket, but Reshecht, I think, would say, and there's no reason not to do this. Truth is, less of a hefsed anyway, is to tear the shirt. I imagine a sarbel is like, you know, your overcoat. That's called a beged shel kavod. That's the way they explain it. Okay, Sifur Aleph. Echara ish ve'echara ish shavim in kriya. Lasha ish korasa tachton machzirato lachara b'chozer sa korasa elyon. A woman, because of tznius, tears the beged underneath. She turns it around, which we can't generally do most of that today. I mean, sometimes you can, some begadim, some shirts. I mean, for example, this shirt, you cannot be machzir lachara. I mean, you have to be really talented. you know, when people, when there's a zipper, women have a zipper on the back of a dress, they'll ask someone to help them zip it up. That's hard enough. If you can manage to do buttons, these buttons on the back of your, on your back with your hands, you are one impressive individual. It's probably even harder than doing the cufflinks, you know, yourself. Okay, it can be done. I've done it, but I've never tried the back. And if I did try putting my shirt backwards, some people, the onlookers might think I did in private that I was putting myself in a straitjacket because I deserve to be put in a straitjacket. Anyway, yes. Question, Matt, or
no?
No. Okay, fine. So, today what they typically do, they say, sholalatu la'altam mea kavod. I think what a woman will do is that she'll be wearing an undershirt, even if she normally wouldn't, under her shirt, and then tear the shirt, and then use a bobby pin, safety pin. The advice would, I said, give it to a woman would be to wear an undershirt in this kind. I mean, she may not normally wear an undershirt underneath her regular shirt. Put an undershirt, you tear the outer shirt, then you immediately put a safety pin in. That's what Sholalatu Alter is. They'll talk about it in a moment.
Should she wait until she
can
get an undershirt?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a question of personal comfort and sneeze. You know. We live, you know, it's funny, we live in such a pre-justica society now. Most of our community is a lot better than what's around. But even people who generally are prutzim, I think in this circumstance might not be. I'd like to believe so, at least.
So a woman who puts on an undershirt, should she follow the advice of the shirt? Like, puts on an undershirt, tears the front, turns it, and like...
Well, no, you can't turn the top shirt around. So what you do is you tear Kriya and immediately just put a safety pin in.
Even if it's a sleeve, if it's a cap sleeve undershirt or something like that, so that you would be able to turn it...
You're not tearing the undershirt. You're tearing the upper shirt. You mean... No, she could. The problem is that she's not wearing only that, so she's going to... I mean, she'd have to go in private. She could do that if she wants.
Would that not require it to?
No, I think they would just... you're allowed... We'll see in a second. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Katan, wherever it is, I don't know, somewhere it's going to say Sholalat al Altar. Yes, Jeremy.
So
better to tear the shirt. I think that you probably yotze either. Rashechter was mesupak about the suit. He thought even the suit jacket might be a beged shel kavod.
So if you tear the non-beged elyon, you're still yotze.
For
non-relative.
Yes.
For non-parenting.
Correct. You can't tear another shirt. You can't tear the outer coat. The layers in between, however you define that, is any of them are eligible for kriya. For a parent, all of them. For a karov, any one of them. You choose.
Like, even though it calls it usually says ha'elyon, like, I think generally it says like your korea kulo for your parents, and then the other one says the elyon.
Well, that's because it's usually, let's say you were wearing two shirts, it's harder to tear the inner shirt, but you could if you want. Because you can, but other krovim, you can tear the shirt and be machse the keralach or of immediately. So, okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says, this is called Mavdil Kome Safa. The Ramah says, that is not always. I've seen people on occasion where it's not torn at the collar, it's torn middle of the shirt. And I think it shouldn't be done that way. I think the Ramah says that the kara should be done from starting with the top of the shirt. If you can't go through the collar, I understand. So start right on the side of the collar and go diagonally. Fine. I'll call Hamesim Yeshlo Likro Bifnim Shalob Bifne Adam Lafikach Yeshlo Lahachnes Yadu Bifnim Vikorea Bitsina Aval Avavimo Eno Korea Elamim Bachut Bifne Kol Adam. Here the Mechaber adopts both positions of Pnim and Chutz. It's not usually an issue. For certainly a man, they just tear. They always do the Kriya. I mean, they do it. They don't always tear the Kriya. They don't do it in secret, but often it's not done Bifnei and Ve'eda. I don't know why. For parents, it's not that either. I mean, anybody wants can be there, right? It's not, you don't throw everybody out, but I don't know why it's not done. Why, of the email, they don't do it more Bifar Hesya.
Would you recommend, if you're the Rav, to maybe do it in the room where the...
I didn't think to ask Rashechter that question, but I've never seen, in other words, the rabbi goes, the family...
In the room after everyone has cleared out of the room.
That's when they usually end up doing it, right? And I don't know why for a parent it's done that way. It seems to me that it should be done. You should go into the chapel, and that's where they should tear Kriya. Especially for, certainly for men, where there's no, you're not even going to have a tzniyas concern. Matt?
You should be wearing the begum while you're doing this?
Yes. I would almost say you might not be yotze if you're not wearing the begum.
No, but I'm saying, if you're having trouble, let's say you have a scissors up here, you don't want to cut yourself, whatever it is,
you can usually pull it away, put a hand
you
in between.
You might have a thought that I'll tape a shirt off.
So I think the baguette is supposed to be you're supposed to be wearing it. You know, I haven't seen that issue discussed explicitly, but when the baguette's not on you, I'm not sure it's mechuyev. I'm not sure you're saying Korea.
So you're saying if somebody took off their shirt, ripped it, then put it back on?
I'm not sure these are yotze. I don't want to say for sure not, but I'm not sure you're yotze.
But then all you'd have to do is just a little bit more? Or
you'd have to tear, well, probably a tefach more.
You already tore it down to your...
You can go down to Tiburo if you need. It's still Korea.
Okay, so fine.
Benjamin?
What if you happen not to be wearing a shirt when you find out that somebody has died? Just do Korea whatever shirt you next month?
I'm sorry, what happens...
Say you're not wearing a shirt when...
Yes, when you put on a baguette, you would tear kriya. I would say, yeah. And Judah?
I was at a Levaya once where it was for a Rebbe in Gushes, his father passed away. He did the kriya.
Bifnei Ambeda. Yeah, it could be that Tzedavar is so disordered of a posture that just Rabbanim don't know. You know, because, I don't know, they didn't learn the Braisa, Moed Katan from the Korosah, and read the whole Shulchan Aruch. So, they just got the notes for the Bechina. And the question wasn't on the Bechina. Maybe it wasn't in the notes. Jacob? Well, there are two definitions of pnim. One pnim means in private, and the other pnim means on the inner garment, especially if you're tearing only for only one baguette.
What would that mean, going what's the difference?
No, one of them says whatever you're tearing with everybody present. And the other is, when you're tearing, with or without people present, do you have to tear the outer one, or can you tear something from can you tear from the inside? So the Shulchan Aruch has adopted both readings of that Gemara. Okay. So if you're Dalit, I'll call a Mesim Ratza Kareb, Yad Ratza Kareb, Kleil Avivim Obiyad. By a parent, you have to tear complete with a hand. If you need to make a cut to get it started, that's fine. But the Shir Kriya has to be done by tearing by hand. I'll call a Mesim Mabala Hachla Tov Shiva Yama Machla Feina Korea Lavavimo Machla Tov Shiva This was a big shayla. Machlokas, one of the Gaonim, I think, Rav Haigon, and a number of the Rishonim. Rav Haigon, I think, said that you only tear one beged and your ma'acha. You can be ma'acha after the shloshim. You can fully sew it up. In other words, he believes that subsequent kriyos after the initial kriya are not really a din of kriya and avaimo. It's just that you should appear with a torn beged. But after the shloshim, you could sew it up perfectly. Unlike the begadim you tear initially on kriya for a parent, where you can stitch up badly after shloshim and eno ma'acha la'olam. But we paskin that the kriyim that are done b'toch shiva, and when you're machlep begadim, people who aren't machlep begadim, they wear the same thing during shiva for this reason, they want to tear more clothing. But in a machlep begadim, that kriya is like the initial kriya as well, with all the din initial kriya that you're not ma'acha la'olam. Matt?
So this is by your parents, you have to do it b'yad.
Correct.
You
can do it quickly if you want. Okay. Fine. Call a mesim yachal l'hachzik kera l'achar of toshiva avala ba'avima. All the mesim, you can take the kera and turn it around. You can turn the baguette around and you don't see a baguette that's torn. But by avima, you have to appear with the baguette torn. Shabbos is the one exception to this rule. On Shabbos, again, our world is totally different. They say that on Shabbos, you have to be machzik kera l'achar. You have to either machlif the baguette or machzik the kera l'achar. Today, of course somebody's machlif the baguette, because you wear different, often you wear now, you wear different begadim on Shabbos, and you're not korea on Shabbos. And when Shabbos ends, you can switch back to the baguette karo if you like.
You're not supposed to like tear it on Friday afternoon and then wear that shirt on Shabbos. Like,
no, you're not. Then if you tore it on Friday afternoon, you won't be able to wear it on Shabbos. You can't be... So the sugya and Moed Katan, if you're following the course, you haven't done this yet, because it's really going to come up later at the end of Hilchos Avelos when they deal with the dinner Avelos on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we're only knowing Avelos Bitzina. Okay, I should have said this. Right, one of the famous cases, you don't give an Avel an Aliyah, right, because he's still Osir B'Talmud Torah on Shabbos. He can study the things that he can study but during the week, but he's not allowed to study Torah. Therefore, you cannot give an Avel an Aliyah. But Rabbeinu Tam was an Avel. He instructed them to give him shlishi, because Rabbeinu Tam got shlishi every Shabbos. and for him not to get shlishi on Shabbos would have been avelus b'farhesi. But the general rule is that avelus b'tzinas noeg on Shabbos, not avelus b'farhesi. So the Gemara has a discussion of Rav and Shmuel, which of the dinim of avelus do apply, don't apply. There are a couple of mnemonics in the Gemara, but one of the things that it's clear, I think, l'choladeus, is that an avel cannot be yosei b'beged karua. So he either has to be machzeh the kerol achorav, or he has to be machlef his begadim. That's all. So if you put on the shirt before Shabbos and tore it, then you have to put on another shirt.
Okay. I was thinking about how you think, you don't tear things on Shabbos, but you could tear them for
no,
Shabbos.
No, the point, it's not, nothing to do with the din of malacha. It has to do with Ein Avelus B'Farhes. Judah?
If you're in Chris Tor during the week as part of what's normally with it, why would you not be able to get on Shabbos?
I'm sorry, if what?
If learning the parsha every week is part of one's normal limud, then why would one not be able to get on Shabbos?
No. So the point is that you can't, firstly, it doesn't matter if it's part of your normal limud, it's not public. You can't study the parasha on Shabbos either if you're a novel. Nobody knows. A person getting up and reading in Tzibur is considered Talmud Torah. So normally, if you don't need to give the Avel that Aliyah, you don't give the Avel Aliyah. The fact that you were the Gabba, you thought you wanted to give an Aliyah, but you're not, that's not Avelus Mefarhese. It's only in Rabbeinu Tam's case. If the rabbi always gets Shlishi, then for him not to get Shlishi is an indicator that something is different than on this Shabbos from other Shabbos. And that difference is obviously he's an Avel, and that makes it Avelus Mefarhese.
But I thought that you said that one learns still with their normal...
No, Talmud Torah, Avel's also with Talmud Torah. Like Tisha B'Av. I mean, Tisha B'Av is like Avel, but yeah.
So what's once normal Limud? Did you mention something?
No. I said Avel is Asher, but Avel is not allowed.
I heard that part. No.
You said except the things he can learn.
No, there are things that it's mutter for an Avel to learn, namely Hilchas Avelus and Dvarim HaRayim Shebe'iyov and Eicha and things like that. I'm not really sure if all those, and this is a machlokas, we'll see later, whether all those things, but Hilchas Avelus, the Avel can learn. Okay, but he's not allowed to be Ma'chozer in the parashah. So if we can get an Aliyah, it's Talmud Torah. But for Rabbeinu Tam, it was Avelus Parashah. Okay, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. Jeremy.
So during the Kriya Torah, he pulls out, you know, you're not supposed to be following along the Chumash, I presume, right?
I don't think an Avel Gashtayim Mikra. I don't think so. But you have to look. There is something in Hilchos Tisha B'Av about this, about... I'm not 100% sure. I've never quite been able to sure. So Tisha B'Av, it's not a big deal. Just don't do it that day. So should he not read along? Should he not follow along the Chumash? I mean, if it won't be Nikar. Maybe. I don't know. He can just be quiet. That's all. It's not awesome. For him to walk out would be Avelus B'Farhesi. So he can be there and he hears the Kriya. I don't think that's such a bad. His following the Chumash, I'm not sure, is an issue. But his getting an Aliyah, really, he's the one reading. He's not just passive. He's actively.
Well,
I don't know if an Avel is Asr to be Choshev B'Torah, by the way. I'm not sure that that's true. I don't know if there's an Isser Machshava. Might be.
Why?
Some people hold it's generally not permissible to think in any circumstances. But for those who hold that it's Mutar, I don't know. They never talk about it. Is it you're not allowed to be Choshev and Talmud Torah in the bathroom? They don't say that by an Avel. I don't know if there's an Isser being Choshev and Talmud Torah. There's no Isser being Choshev before you make a bracha. Bracha's Torah in the morning. You're not allowed to, you cannot speak. But there's no... So I don't know if by an Avel, if there's an Isser, if there's no Dibor.
So did Rabbeinu Tam read the words when he went up for Zoya?
Vadai. For him not to do so would have been Avelus before Hesher.
No, I'm saying no one notices.
The guy next to him does.
The
Balkriya. You know that story?
I've heard it so far.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know a very specific story.
The story that the Rav once, there was some guy leaning in the Mor Shul or something, and he had no idea who the Rav was, and they called the Rav up for Levi, and the Rav apparently read really loud along with it, and he said after the Aliyah apparently said, "Mister, I'd appreciate the next time I'm reading if you could do a little more quietly."
I never heard that part.
That's the part of the story. Okay, so talk about wanting to find the nearest hole many feet deep to crawl into. So anyway,
if it's a chiyuv for a different reason, a wedding or something like that, would it be a sign of avelus to not?
Yeah. Oh, to not, you mean let's say the guy is getting married. Assuming that it's mutter, No. What's that?
He's during the Shabbat Shabbat.
You mean to be? Well, no, because he's not an Avelis yet anyway. That's complicated. If you're in the middle of Shabbat Brachos and someone loses a relative, Shiva doesn't begin technically until after the... It's going to be one of the upcoming Simanim, beginning next week.
Yard site or something like that.
Right. So you mean if it would be Befeirush because he has yard site and they don't give him an Aliyah? The question is, how Befar Hesya is it? That's the question. How many would people really know? Is the question. I'm not sure there's halachic in it. Since he's Mechuyev, again, yes, I think it may be whether the public perception of it. You see? It means if I'm wearing a sweater, I reach in and tear the shirt.
But let's say he's only wearing an outer, he's just wearing like a shirt.
Well, then what's to be machanist in Fim and Korea? There's only one thing to tear. All right, we are up to Sif Tesvav, right? Al Kala Mesim Sholel, La'achar Shiva, Uma'acha La'achar Shloshim Yom, Al Ava the Emo Sholel, La'achar Shloshim Yom, Ve'inamacha La'olam, Ba'isha Sholel, La'alta Mipnei Kevoda. Fine. You can't use a safety pin either, or a pin, or a needle, in order to join the top. Some have them in out not to be sholal until after shloshim. For us, it doesn't matter, because after shiva, you take the garment and you pitch it. Rama will say later, at the end of Sif Yadayim, we don't do chalitzas kasef anymore. It was a sign if you're wearing a robe and you pull you bare your shoulder, that was a sign of mourning. I think that one is totally foreign to us. Kriya, some of us might understand because you see it done. Nobody does chalitzas kasef anymore. But kol ha'mesim rotza cholitz kasef al avi imo chayev lachlotz kasef. V'holei kach lefnei amita at sheikaver. Only until the kivurim. Abein adam gadav en kodosh yele chalutz kasef ein tzarech lachlotz. Sif Yodzayin, Nasi Doma La'av L'chalitzas Kasef V'l'Kromi B'chutz U'l'Ichoy. So the Kriyan Nasi, which is very much Halacha Maisim Spanas, right, is the same as for a parent in the following respects. You're supposed to be Chalitz Kasef, you have to be Korah Mi B'chutz, not Mi B'fnim, and you're never allowed to be Ma'achah. Kol HaKorah Ma'chocham Shemes, Kevan Shechzir P'nei Me'achor Amita Sholulin, U'ma'achin L'mochor. If you tour for the other kriyos less than the nasi, a chacham shemes, as soon as you turn around, as soon as you leave the levaya, you can do a bad the loose stitching, and then the next day you can be ma'acha. And this does not apply to Rabbo Movak, as to be seen later. Yes.
Obviously, we're referring to nasi who's a Jew, but we're not referring to like.
Would yes, we're talking about the singular figure nasi of Klal Yisrael. We don't have such a thing
today. Do we do kriya for non-Jews? If I were a kid or something.
For a parent. It might be a kriya shel rishus. Technically, there's no avelus, but I think I would. One could allow such a person as long as they didn't adopt the kulas of avelus, meaning they have to engage in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and they have to wear tefillin first day. But outside of that, you can be. There is voluntary avelus. We'll encounter it a little bit down the line. So I think in the case of a ger, he wouldn't be mechuyev or she wouldn't be mechuyeves to do so. But I think that one would allow them to do so. On the grounds of volunteering avelus. V'chacham sheba shmuaso sholo bo bayom u'ma'acha l'machar. If all you get is a shmua and a chacham where there's no levaya that day because he's dead and buried, so you tear a kriya, but you can be ma'acha immediately, and then sholo immediately ma'acha l'machar. Ve'al nasi v'al rabba muvak sholo l'machar v'ena ma'acha l'olam. For nasi and rabba muvak, you have to wait till the next day to do sholel, and you can never be ma'acha. Al chacham cholitz miyom and val abeiz de mismol val nasi mikan and mikan val abav imo v'rabo muvach ratzimikan v'mratza cholitz shtehem. And the Rambam says we don't do yishomer d'achshav manazel and agulach let's kasev klavach enogim ha'idana. Fine. Yirches al kol ha'mesim lo shama alachar shloshim yom eno korel misha eno cholak ben izdamin lo. Let's say now the first part of this. The 30 days for Shar Krovim, as the line between Kriya and no Kriya, is when you hear. In other words, if it's 30 days, within 30 days of the Patira, or after 30 days of the Patira. Again, I'm not 100% sure, it's the Patira or the Kvura. In those days, in that day and age, it was very rarely where they separated by much. In this day and age, it could be more of a question. So the question that's going to come up, really, truly, Lemaisa. Lemaisa is not such a common question, because how often does it happen that a person finds out only between 30 and 32 days after the Misa of their Karov, meaning between 30 days after the Misa and 30 days after the Kura. Today, almost all the time, Kurovim find out immediately, you know, within 24, 48 hours, that their Kura passed away. But once upon a time, that wasn't always the case. As you can tell from the Gemara Pesachim, Rav Chiya heard about the death of his brother and his sister years and years and years after the fact. When he asked Rav how they were doing, Rav, you know, gave him an evasive answer. It made clear, you know, he asked about one. He said, "Why don't you ask me how the other one is doing?" He asked about the other. "Why don't you ask me how that one was doing?" Right? And Rav Chiya understood that Rav didn't want to say they died, but that's what Rav was telling him. But today you find out usually immediately. Maybe if you're climbing Mount Everest and your cell phone gets no reception there, and you know it's a 30-day trek, so I could see such a thing happening. But it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare. Mishen lo chalok ven is damin lo. But that's only if you don't hear about the p'tira. So then it depends how many days it is from the time of the p'tira. But here, what if you do hear about the p'tira, but you don't have a beget to tear? So he says, tol shiva korea, achar shiva eno korea. Once you already know about it, your chi of kriya set in, and once the avelis passes and you haven't done kriya, there's no doing kriya on other relatives anymore. However, al aviv the alimo korea v'holech va'olam, that was the shita of, was the bahag or the ritzgeos? It's the bahag. The bahag shita, that on a parent you korea li'olam, and the Ramah adds, kol begadav. Fine. Sif yud tes. Geshem sh'asol lachos kereshena mesacha kach asol lachafach tzadayin shabegel lamata lachosav. Doesn't matter if you flip it around and you kind of make a new beggy, you still can't be macha. Afilu halokechoso, osu lachoso. A buyer is not allowed to be macha. Lefikach, a balamocho, tzorach ladil. If you're going to sell it to him, you have to let him know that it's a kera she'ena misacha. V'im mecharo lo stam belo adil, osu lachoso, she'yeda she'ena me'akurim she'ena misacha, v'osu lamocho la'akum. And if you sell it stam, if a guy buys a beggy stam, and there's a kera in it, so he's not allowed to sew it up until he finds out for sure that it was from the Karaim that are Misachim. And you're not allowed to sell it to the Goy, because the Goy's not going to listen to you. He's just going to sew it up. What does he care?
Why is it also for the person buying it to sew it up?
I would say the following. You don't have the right to sell the Beged for those purposes. Right. You only have the ability, when you own a Beged, you only have the ability to sell what you own. And in this case, since you don't have the ability to sew it up, you can't sell that right. So he has to understand when he's buying the rights to the beget, but there are limitations on its usage.
Yeah, but if you tell him that, and he goes and decides on his own, I'm going to sew it up.
All right, so that's a different question. Is the Issa really, you know, is this a Gzera? What your point is, it sounds like once they made the Gzera, Eina Masache, it's not a Gzera on the Gavra, it's on the Chefza. There's an Issa of being Ma'ache, the beged, you know, which was Karua Akera, which is Eina Masache. Okay. Sivchav, Hakar mitoch hamela mitoch hashalai mentioned this, mitoch hayakur mitoch hasulamas layatza, mitoch ichoy alchazandri, tainu trir shusheva lamala, boletes milmata yatza. Not our, again, if this were really a halach lamaisa issue, we could talk about what exactly are these tfiras, what's ichoy versus alchazandri versus regular ichoy. It's not our issue. Sivchav aleph, kara ames, umes lo mes acher toch shiva. Korea kera acher. If tor kriya once, you have to, and now you hear within Shiva of the death of another relative. Right now we're not talking about parents. You have to tear a different kera. What else can you do? You can also be korea additional on your first kera, but what do you have to do? It's got to be another full tefach. Normally, hosafas hakera is a kol shehu. But if you tore and you hear b'tel Shiva, you know, one of your relatives, you want to be mosif in a kera that already exists, you have to be mosif a tefach. However, la'achar shiva, after 7 days, mosif al kera rishon kol shehu. Once it's after shiva, you only have to add on a kol shehu to the kera. Correct. Of the first one. Meislo meishlishi achar shiva shosheni, mosif al kol shehu. Then again, if it's after the shiva, the second one, you can add on to that kera kol shehu. Chay mosif holech atiburo. You can keep adding koshels until you reach the navel. Higia l'tabur, l'tibur, marcha gimel atzbos v'korea. Then, you're most, if you want, once you have to tear a new kera, you move three atzbos away and you tear, I believe it has to be a tepach, the first one. Nismale l'fana machzir l'achor, nismale malahok l'mata, nismale mikan l'kan nasa kimishen l'chalok shen korea. If you've torn your beged, every place it can be torn, and that's the only beged you have, at that point, you don't have to tear anymore, because you're like a person who has no beged, since this beged is not subject to kriya anymore. Yes? Well, no, because you can sew things up with a sholel and an ichoy non-Alexandri.
Well, it's not for a parent, and none of this is
None of the
safe. Well, oh, by the way, what's that?
None of the
safe
is for a parent. So you can do any of them.
What's that?
You do equal
on
any of these.
Correct. Right. Yeah, so the bottom line is if you don't sew it up, at some point it's not a bag anymore. That's correct. Okay. Sifchat Beis. Amru lo meis aviv v'kara. Ve'achar shiva meis b'nei v'hosif. Misacha tahtom v'la'oyim. That you're allowed to do. In other words, you have a karal of ima, and shemagalas libo, you still have run to be mosif until the tabur, and therefore, if another relative died, a non-parent, so then you could be mosif a kol shehu. But you can sew up permanently, you can sew up permanently the bottom, not the top. Matt? What do you mean? If it's an Ismaili crime? If it's an Ismaili crime, then you'd have to, then you probably, if he has another beged, he's supposed to put on a beged to do kriya.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy must have a lot of relatives. You still have to have a lot of immediate relatives, right? I guess if you have 20 siblings and 20 children, so you could get a lot of these. Okay, fine. Fine. However, guys, you cannot tear kriya for a parent on top of a kera that's there already. It's not a parent deserves their own kera. Only if it's two non-parents or two parents. In other words, one kera only is sufficient for two people in the same category. If it's not simultaneous, but another mace dies till Shiva, Korea kera bifnei atzmo. Bein ba'oso kera atzmo shemosipo v'korea tefach, umarcha kimot sporos v'korea tefach. We've seen this really in principle. They didn't spell it out in the previous sif. Now he spells it out. La'achar Shiva mosip al kera rishon kol Shiva. Mace avu v'imo v'achar mishakro. But what if a parent dies and one of the other relatives? Then korea tchila al avu v'imo ad libo. You tear all the way at halev. Has to be a separate kriya, but meis aviv v'kara, the achar shiva, meis echad mehakrovim, mosiv al kera harishon. You're allowed to add on to the first kera. V'tachto mesacha v'yena mesacha. We saw that already. Meis echad mehakrovim v'kara, v'achar kach meis aviv v'imo. I don't want to go into the spend time on this now. There's a three machlokas are shown, and the Gemara records a machlokas between Tanakama and I think Rabbi Yehuda about the shama of the situation where you tear two kriyos, one for a parent, one for another relative. The Tanakhama assumes that you can tear one on top of the one and then tear the other one, meaning for Avu Imacha Magalas Libo and then add a tefach for another karov, or a tefach for a karov and then Acha Magalas Libo for a parent. And Rabbi Huda said, and also assumes that if you hear about the shmua of a parent and a parent and a sibling at the same time, that you tear one kara for both of them. Rabbi Huda comes along and says, kara, one kara on the parents, one kara on the other relatives. And the question is, which part of the brice is Rabbi Huda arguing on? Some say on the entire brice, I think that is Rashi Shita. The Rambam, I think, says, or maybe backwards, Rashi says only, one of them says, only on the last part. Everybody agrees that when you hear consecutively, you can tear first for a parent, then for another karav, or first for a karav, then for another parent. It's only when you hear bevasachas do you need one kara or two krios, and we paskin two krios. However, some rishonim say that Rabbi Yehuda argues even on either all of the resha or part of the resha. And the Mechaber's psak really is the compromise position, which is it argues on part of the resha, namely that when another karav dies and you tore a tefach, you can now be korea al... If a parent dies, you korea libo, and then another karov dies, you can tear another, probably a kol shehu, for the other karov. If it's after Shiva and toch Shiva, you can tear a tefach there. But if another karov dies and you tear a tefach, now a parent dies, you can't use that kera at all, because it's not bekavadik to use that kera for a parent. The parent should get their own independent kera. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins here. There's more to say on that, but not for here. Sifchav Dalet. Amru lo meis avi v'kara v'achakach nimsa shubano. Talk about a messed up world. Someone tells him your father died, and it turns out that was your brother, not your father. Okay, and he didn't. His hearing wasn't good, and his speaking wasn't clear. What?
It's his son, not his brother.
Whatever. I don't even want to talk about that scenario. That's a horrible scenario. So we're going to change the scenario to Achiv. Okay, even though the Gemara's example has been up. So besides, father and brother could at least come close. Not really sound out of father and son. Not really. Okay. So Amru Lemes Avav Vekara Achak Nimsa Shubano Yatzi Yedei Kriya But Vuhu Shenoda Lo Tol Kedei Dibur Vim Lo Noda Lo Achak Kedei Dibur Lo Yatza. I find it amazing that you can Yotze even the Achak Kedei Dibur. But anyway, that's what the Lo Tol Kedei Dibur, that's what the Gemara says. Abalam Amru Lo Mes Lachames Because Sabur Avav Vekara Ve Achak Nimsa Shubano Yatza Afilo Lo Noda Lo Achak Kedei Dibur. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seif of the Sif? In the Reisha, they tell him it's person X, and he tears the kriya. And the sefer, they tell him, one of your relatives died that you have to sit shiva for. He tears kriya. He thought it was one, but nobody ever said that. It wasn't explicitly done, almanas. And therefore, the kriya yotze even lachadok didibur. There are rishonim who disagree with this, who claim that the maskana of the Gemara of Ashi's teretz of tokere dibur versus lachadok dibur does away with the whole first teretz about the difference between beferish and stam. Okay, but the Shulchan Aruch is posek lakula. This is not going to happen terribly often. Not impossible. In times of chaos, it can happen, but nonetheless. Sif chavtalet hayelo chola v'nis alef v'kara lo v'achakach meis in meis tolke deidibu shel kriya in tzorke acheres and la tzorke acheres. If you die before the person, if you tear before the person dies, you're not yotzei the kriya. If you tear and then they die, within, you know, you tore that magnificent suit and they were watching and said, "Oh my God!" and died tolke deidibu. So then you're yotzei. Okay. And it's not even an accessory to murder. Yes, Jacob.
Why does what the other guy matter at all? What the other guy says, why does that matter at all?
Because that's what you're thinking when you... It's not about what he says. It's what we know. We assume, for some reason, that your kriya is almanastat.
Or sometimes we consider tokeh deidibur word to, like, at some metaphysical level, to be the exact same time, somehow. That's what I understand.
Okay. But he was asking a different question. That's not... You're addressing a different issue. Alright, Amru lo meis other v'kara, v'noag tzasi me'avelos, v'yakach Amru lo, just kidding, lo meis, v'hifsik, so he's the torn kriya, started the shiva, they tell him, just kidding, he didn't die, and now, v'chazur Amru lo, v'pam arisha meis, just kidding, he really did die the first time, k'mosha Amru arishonim, yatzay yedei kriya. Why? Because when you tore it the right machshava, and you're mechuyif to tear. If the father hadn't died at the time, he only died later, then you're not yotzei yedei kriya, that's la'achak yedei dibur. Fine. Now, the other question is, what about the Avelos? The Ramban talks about it. We're going to talk about it later in Simon Shin Sadi tests or something like that. If you didn't observe all the Avelos that you were supposed to, what's the din? Do you have to be mashlim, or there's no point to be mashlim? Sif chazayin katan shameis lo meis mikarin lo. This is midin agmas nefesh. There's no chiyuv of kriya or Avelos on a katan. The Ritz Geos here says, it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Beis Yosef quotes it, and they can't even remind you here. The Ritz Geos says about a katan shegi l'chinuch, then the kriya is not mitnei agnas nefesh, and actually mitzad mitzvas chinuch. The question is, what about avelus? So this is machlokas achronim, but the Shach says, no, machlokas are rishonim already, the Ramban and some of the Gaonim, I think, and the Ramban says there's no avelus here. Others want to say, no, just like you have kriya for chinuch, there's avelus for chinuch. So I think we paskin, there's no chinuch on avelus. Avelus chadasha means sif chavtes a korea bechol. I'm sorry, sif chavtes a bone thrown in here for the lamdanim. You know the classic distinction between chavtes and kavra. Reb Chaim didn't invent it. Aside from being the difference between the darim and shvuos, there's Yushalmi about this. Yushalmi says that if you matzah gezula, you're not yotze with on Pesach. But what if you carry matzah through the shasarabim, then you eat it in the other place, so you yotze? Yushalmi wants to know. They weren't briskers, intuitive briskers. So they had to ask the question, what's the difference? And they said, Taman ki gufa avera. But ahacha hu avar avera. Or avar avera. The difference is between a matzah gezula is that it's a chefza shel avera. Whereas if you carry the matzah with just a rabbim, the gavra did an avera, but it's not a pegam in the chefza. So that's why hakoreh b'shabbos ameso afapisha chilal shabbos yatzi dekriya, but hakoreh b'chol gozel lo yatzi dekriya, because one is a chefza, one is just a din in the gavra, the pe'ula. Fine. Sif Lamed. Katan deglokim le beisha kolo chadasham shemesh betosh shloshim or afila biyom shloshim ein koren alav, and avelis would go along with it. The shach here quotes and other chon quote: if it's kim lon shakolo chadasham, if you know the child was not a preemie, the example they gave was that the husband had intercourse after she went to the mikvah 9 months ago and never slept with her since. So then you know it's and it's born to 9 full months, then it's kolo chadasham. I don't know how people handle this din bizman hazeh. Because in many cases, firstly, you don't need... I mean, we know when kolo chadasha. Doctors know when a woman became pregnant, and they can tell from the ultrasound, and so you can actually have situations where it's mamish kolo chadasha. I'm not sure whether the minhag still is to sit, do priya and sit shiva with a child who died within 30 days. Obviously, it's going to normally be a case... The best case scenario... It's a horrible case scenario. The best case scenario for analyzing halacha is what if the child is killed in an accident? See, if the child has some kind of a disease, some kind of a problem, even if they survive 30 days, they may be treated as an NAFL because they were an NAFL to start with. They couldn't survive. Right? But what happens if the Rahman al-Islam, the child's just killed in an accident? The child was perfectly healthy, and you know, on day 29, they're just killed in an accident. Then there's no, we know they were born full term and so on. Pashtus is the din, is the regular din of Kriya Navelos. It's a regular din of Kriya Navelos. Kata, Sif Lamed Aleph.
If we know that the child was full term but dies, the doctor can tell this is a 9-month baby, but it was born with some infection, and it's
not. I don't know if an infection, but it was born with an infection. Is something that can happen to anybody. But some, it was born. The child itself had no chance of survival from the start. I'm not sure what the, you know, where we draw the line. In other words, a preemie who's born at 22 weeks, and only makes and lives for more than 30 days, but you know makes it to 28 weeks. Said there's no shiva. That child, that's an AFL. No question, that's an AFL. B'chaste Hashem, in most cases, and almost miracles of medicine, sometimes children like that can survive. Right? And when they survive, once they reach a certain point, they're not an AFL anymore. But if they didn't make it, that's an AFL. That's an AFL. Siflamid Beis. Siflamid, I'm sorry. What? Lamed Aleph. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't seen, obviously, the issue could not have been addressed till recently. I'm not familiar enough with the recent literature to see how people might handle such a situation. Okay. Sif Lamed Aleph. In Koren B'yom Tov, Afila B'yom Tov Sheni, Shel Golios, Afila Krovim Shel Meis. You do not tear Kriya on Yom Tov, even Yom Tov Sheni. Avo B'chol HaMoed Koren HaKol Echad K'fi Mashu, Im Omid B'shas Yitzias Neshama, Mu'adam Kasher, Chacham Al Kol Echad K'dinu Shizbar. Mechaber says the dinim of Kriya on Chol HaMoed are the same as all the time. The one thing the Acharonim do say is that if you bury them, we don't have this today so much, but if you bury the Meis on Yom Tov and you don't do Kriya, then you wait. You may wait till after Yom Tov, the Gamre, in order to do Kriya. Why? Because it's not Shas Chimam anymore, and it's not Shas Akever, so you're really tearing almost Ala Shmua for that, and therefore you can always be Korei Ala Achar, the regal. I think that's what they say. One second. It might be, one of the things to file away for yourself is that there are at least two simanim in Orach Chaim that are relevant to Avelos. They're in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. There are two full simanim, which deal with din that are scattered about. Kriya is dealt with there as well, and maybe in the Achronim there that they talk about. I don't see it here, in my quick glance at the Nosei Kelim, who talk about what happens if you bury on Yom Tov itself. But if you bury on Yom Tov itself, I think you don't do Kriya until after the Chag completely. The Ramah comes along and says, "V'yeshom of the Noagim Shein Lekura b'Chol HaMoed Rakal of Avima v'Ashar Meisim Korn Lachar Moed." Ufamakom Shein Minag Yesh Lekura Kulam. The Ramah in Orach Chaim says, "In Eretz Ashkenaz," and the Maaseh Binyamin says, "Yeah, in Ashkenaz, but not in Poland," meaning in Germany. This was the practice. They only torn of Avima on Shar Krov, and they waited until after the regal. The Shach points out here in Sif Katam and Zion that even if you have the Minog not to tear on Shar Krovim, which he seems to think that was the Minog, that's what the Shach thought the Minog was. That does not apply in a situation where you hear about the patir or her relative, and on Chol HaMoed it's still a Shemua Krova. So just an observation to file in the back of your mind. You know that Yom Tov knocks out Shiva, and if you start at Shloshim, Yom Tov knocks out Shloshim. For the purposes of what's called a Shemua Krova and a Shemua Rechoka, when you hear about the patir within 30 days or after 30 days, Yom Tov counts as, each day of Yom Tov counts as one day. There's no din of cutting things short there. So if you hear in the middle of Chol HaMoed, that's been 29 days since your relative's patira, you hadn't heard before, if you wait till after Chol HaMoed, you won't be able to tear kriya, because there'll be a Shmuel Rechoka by then. So therefore, the Rashach says, even the female Hagenu, that you don't normally tear a Shach Krovim, you tear during Chol HaMoed. Whereas, if it still be a Shmuel Krova after Yonto, so then you can wait to tear after Yonto. But the Ramah, I think the Minhag is you tear kriya on all Krovim during Chol HaMoed. I would say about other non-Krovim, I might raise the question, but we don't tear kriya on non-Krovim, period. Ashkenazim, certainly, and therefore there's no, what's the point of discussing Chol HaMoed? You wouldn't tear during the year either.
If Yonto Sheni,
Oh, so the truth is, why does the Mechaber says, Shema Beregel, Lamed Beis, one second, Shmua Krova, Korea, Vafilu Machar Regel, Tia Rechoka, even though if you wait till after the Regel will be Shmua Rechoka, since you heard during the Regel, you tear, and that's where the Shach says, that's Mamzayin, the Shach says, yes, and even Lefim and Argena that you don't tear on Shah Krovin. If it's going to become a Rechoka after the Regel, you have to do the Kriya then, because otherwise you lose the Kriya. Yes?
That means even on Yom Tov itself, not just
Chas v'Shalom. On Yom Tov and Shabbos, we're going to see the din on Shabbos and Yom Tov, ironically. Yom Tov is no surprise. And Yom Tov, if you hear a Shmua Krova on Yom Tov, which will be a Shmua Rechoka after Yom Tov, there's no Avelus. And there's no Avelus of Shiva. There's Avelus of Shmuel Rechoka. After Yom Tov, for 1 hour, you keep Avelus. And minimal Avelus, right? The story in Pesachim. On Shabbos is the interesting case. On Shabbos, we eat our cake and we have it too. Because on Shabbos, if I recall correctly, if you hear about a Shmua on Shabbos, you obviously don't tear a Kriya on Shabbos. And if Shabbos is day 30, and after Shabbos it'll be a Shmuel Rechoka, then you don't have Avelis, you just have a Shmuel Rechoka. But if it's a Shmuel Krova no matter what, so then on Shabbos you have the Din of Avelis Fitzina, which you always have, regardless of whether it will be a Shmuel Rechoka or not. You know you have Avelis Fitzina on Shabbos, because you heard on Shabbos it's a Shmuel Krova. And if it'll be a Shmuel Krova after Shabbos, you tear Kriya, and Shabbos counts as one of the days of Shiva. But if it's going to be a Shmuel Rechoka after Shabbos, there's no Avelis after Shabbos. It's like a Shmuel Rechoka. You get to have it both ways, if that's a good thing for you, I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, but that's going to come up. You don't have to know that now. Yeah, it's going to come up at the end of your day. Like in the late Shin Tzadis, that's when those issues will be discussed. Moshe?
Why is that a tear on Chol HaMoed?
Why are you not allowed to tear on Chol HaMoed?
Like, aren't you only supposed to do Malachos?
It's Tzarach HaMoed. It's Mitzvah's Kriya.
Doesn't that run in the face of the Moed because it's Avelus?
Not Avelus, it's Kriya. Avelus doesn't start till after the Mechag.
Oh, but Kriya, since it's separate,
it's
the Tzarach HaMoed. Okay.
Yep. It's because you need to do it now. It's not need of Yom Tov per se, but you need to do the Kriya, so it's fine. All right. Sif Lamed Gimel Holech Bebeged Karua Lefnei Ameshim Ara Atzma Shekara V'Lakar Reza Gol Sasa Chayim Es Ameshim. Fine. I don't know why that din is in Shulchan Aruch. It's a Musar Vart. It's a true Musar Vart. I just don't know why it's in Shulchan Aruch. HaOmer Lachavero Hashileni, the answer is because part of being halachically observant is being a bal musar also. Omer lechavero, hashileni chalucha, shavakir esaba shuchola, v'halach mitzor shemes, koro, you may tear it umachehu, and then you ma'ache umachzer lo chalucha. And then you return the chalucha mishalani de mekira. Why? Because he told him, I'm going to visit my father who's sick. So the guy who gave him the shirt understood that he might have to tear. If the guy said to him, you can have it, but no way may you tear my shirt, then he's not allowed to tear the shirt. If he didn't tell the guy he was going to a Bikur Cholim visit, then Harese lo yigabo. And if you did, you're not Yotze the Kriya. Why are you allowed to be Ma'acha the Kera? It's a love of Imo. The answer is because the guy loaned you the Beged and allowed you to do that which would not embarrass you, namely to tear. But he was never gave it over so that you could be a tear that you can never be correct, never be Ma'acha la Olam. It's actually Machlokas Harishon what the Girsa should be here, whether it's Ma'achehu or Eino Ma'achehu. But the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, there's a Kashi, I think the Rush had, but then the Mukhe Yosef gave it Teretz for the Rif, and he said it's a good Teretz, and that's why the Beis Yosef Paskins this way. Okay. Yes, the Beis Yosef using the Mukhe Yosef's Teretz.
If you borrow people's shirts, you'll never have a situation where you have to do Kriya and can't be
an Av. Of course you have, because if you have your own shirt, you're Mechoyev to do the Mitzvah, put it on and do the Mitzvah Kriya.
But you have to take off.
You're mechuyev to do kriya, and therefore, if you have a shirt that you can wear, then you put it on, you do kriya. A person who has no beged is pata from kriya. All right. Hamashu lachaveru chaluk lelech balabesa avel. Eino rashai litom imerat shiavu imer avel uvachoshem mishpati paskin. Differently, It's not clear what this. The Shach talks about. The Sama Dachronim say, what is this din doing here? It's not a din in Havelos. It's a din in Sheila. It belongs to the Choshen Mishpat. Not our issue right now. You can look at the Shach of Kappen and Aleph. Finally, the last three Sifim deal with something which is Halacha L'maisa B'zman Hazeh, or one-third Halacha L'maisa. If you ask me, you don't tear on Ari Yehuda anymore, and you don't tear on Yerushalayim, but you still tear on the Makam HaMikdash. You don't tear on Ari Yehuda because they've been rebuilt. You don't tear on Yerushalayim because it's been rebuilt, even if some people think that we're not entitled to have Yerushalayim. But the Beis HaMikdash is still destroyed. And what? If you have every 30 days. If you visit in between, then it restarts your clock. If you attend Yeshivat Netiv Aryeh and every day you walk out, you see the Kotel, so the first time you go, you tear Kriya, but for the rest of the year, you don't tear Kriya. Unless you go on a very, very long tiyul, or you're sent into exile. Yes. Yes.
I've never seen anybody with a torn baguette at the Kotel. Is that just because people don't know the halacha, or
people take off the...
So they may switch. Some people go on Shabbos, and then you can't tear, or they go on Erev Shabbos close enough. And I don't know, I've never seen that written in the Svarim, but I think the Svarah is, you can't tear, you don't tear, then there's a mitzvah kriya. And once it comes after Shabbos, for the same reason that you don't tear if you see it within 30 days, because there's no chimum anymore. Shas chimum came on Shabbos.
It's Shabbos and Yom Tov. Any other days?
Shabbos and Yom Tov.
I think when I got to Gush and we went to the Kotel the next day, they said before we shouldn't tear Kriya because it was Rosh Chodesh, something like that.
They said you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why. I'm not going to argue on it because I haven't looked into it, but it doesn't sound like that from the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kanim say. Shabbos and Yom Tov. I'm not even sure what the makor is. I maybe some of the Achronim say it with the Gabe Shabbos and Yom Tov, that who says you don't tear Kriya the next time you go? You know? In certain ways, the kriyos on Yerushalayim and the Mikdash are like Avav Imo. You're not Ma'ach El Olam. That's the way we paskin. So anyway, I think that the best thing to do, I can't say, I'm not, Eretz Yisrael that often, I'm often not under my own, I'm often Meshubah to others as I'm, you know, traveling around. In the optimal world, you should bring a shirt and do Kriya. It's Kedai. Kedai-based Mikdashenu, you know, if they said, La'abed lov tvila achas bashana, Kedayin beis mikdashenu la'abe din, you know, beged achas, you know, bashana or something like that, right? Our begadim are so inexpensive, it's not a bad idea. Hashomea birkas Hashem. I'm sorry, korin hashemuas ros. Kiyon shenikbetsu rov atzir v'lemuchama v'shamu shenigful l'fnei avem afilu neregu ala miyid v'hem. Okay, fine. Hashomea birkas Hashem afilu birkas hakinoi. V'afilu amu b'lashon laz havei kakinoi. Okay. God is also a, Ramas is a kinoi. The Shach says in elsewhere in Yeridah, for the purpose of Mechikas Hashem, God is not one of God's unerasable names. The only Shev Hashem of Shein and Mechakim. But for the purpose of Chiru Vegidov, the Kinoi counts. Chayev Lekrila.
What does Birkas Hashem and Birkas Hakinoi mean?
It means someone. Firstly, you will never hear this today because people don't know how to curse anymore. They know how to be foul mouthed, and they know how to nibble pep, but they don't know how to curse. People are such, you know, they're such incompetent today. You know, it reminds me of the story of one famous Israeli chiloni. I don't know if it was Alf Bet Yoshua said, we came to this country to create a generation of apikursim, and instead we got a generation of amaratsim. So today, they don't even know how to curse properly. Okay, to be cursed means you're supposed to suggest that, to quote the Gemara's Lashon, Yose Yakes Yose. That's just not the way we curse today. Right. So anyway...
Jews were never
that
good at it.
What's that?
Jews were never that good at it. I don't know.
Anyway, V'afilu Hashomea Me'edim Heich B'irich Ploni Chayev Likra. There's a story the Bavli tells. There was an ostrich that came and swallowed someone's tefillin. So one of them were quickly grabbed, and he strangled it to death. And he said, if it weren't for that, you know, he would have to tear two krios, one on the klaf and one on the kera, one on the ksav. So the one said, no, it's not true. It's only v'dafka shesorfen oso bizrara uchamasa shahaya. It has to be done when it's an act of religious rebellion. But if it's just done, the bird swallowed it, so, you know, I can just see a cartoon made about that, and you can't just see you're grabbing the bird by the neck and trying to give me my tefillin back. Anyway, so the bottom line is it has to be done in an anti-religious act, not as an accident. The minhag is, I'm not sure what the origin of the fasting when the Sefer Torah fell, there's no din of kriya there, it's not bizro, chamas, or shahaya. And also, there seems to be a machlokas between the Bavli Yushalmi. Does it have to be dafka strefa or not? The pashtus, as the Achronim point out in the story in the Bavli, is that if it weren't for the fact that the ostrich wasn't acting bizroa, It wasn't the rebellious ostrich, the Basayana Mamra. So if it weren't for that, had the ostrich been rebellious, you would have torn Kriya even though it wasn't burning the tefillin. It was just destroying the tefillin. Okay. What's that?
It sounds like it's a tista, it's not
two kriyas. No. It's not. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It's just because it's a beautiful concept, actually, this idea of the of Gvilim Nisrafim and Osios Parchos. It appears in many places in rabbinic literature. The idea Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hold the luchos. That's the Chananim Tridium story. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hold the luchos because the ksav parcha, he could no longer bear the weight. It's a beautiful metaphor, and there's a lot to be said about it in Drush. But
why do you need to strangle it then?
So that it wouldn't digest the tefillin. It had to get it out. Chanukah.
What? If you did that,
he wouldn't
have to tear it all then.
He said, had you not done it, I would have had to have torn.
Yeah.
That's all. So that's why he did it, so as to avoid having tear. But it turns out it didn't matter, because even if the ostrich had its meal, it was the ostrich's final meal before execution.
That you never have to tear two kriyos, basically.
Well, unless they burn the Sefer Torah or Tefillin, Bizroa, Bifarhes is the anti-religious act.
So we're going to assume that all tear are brought to
No. That's just that you tear one for the Gvil and one for the Osios. That's all. There's a beautiful midrashim about the Gvil and the Sraf and Osios Prochus Babio. In Chanina ben Trajan's story, he would have torn two kriyas. Sif lamed ches. Harela or Yehuda b'chorbanam Yushalayim v'yisamitash chayiv l'krela. It's not really our Indian. We touched on it briefly. Finally, kol elu akroim rashai l'model l'shon l'lotel l'asosin v'nsulamash l'machor. So, ava emes achem l'olam. So, you can't, some people have a kriya shirt. Not that tear for the kotaf, they go multiple times. It's not a bad idea. You don't need to destroy more shirts, but it's not a terrible idea. Any questions?
If you're a shola, let's say, like you make very weak stitches,
yeah.
Do you have to be mosif on the kerah?
You shouldn't tear. You can't. That's not called a kerah if you tear out of that.
Okay.
You can only tear kerah out of ichel asandri.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Yossi. No. Do I look like to you someone who knows anything about sewing garments? There's a machlokas harishonim about the difference. I don't really care you have to know what is ich alexandri and what is not ich alexandri. The rishonim talk about a definition in terms of the stitches and how they're sewn, and it seems the Ramban himself is more machmir. He said, well, it's a kula en achomra. He says ich alexandri is kein ariga. It's almost like you've rewoven the beged. It all has to do with how well it's done. Ich alexandri is really good sewing. And not really good sewing is something less than ich alexandri. I don't know what the specifics are. You got to ask a seamstress.
But in terms of using like a
macha, a safety pin is being sheldol. That's not ma'acha. Ma'acha means, ich alexandri,
right.
Ich alexandri means sewing up the beg in a way that it's almost like it hasn't been torn.
Okay.
Right? It might be bisman hazeh. We'll throw a baguette out almost of any tear.
Even a sewing machine is usually pretty obvious.
Correct. That's why I know. I don't think for them it is that impossible to tell. I think it was just as good of a stitch as you could do.
So when we say a sewing machine today is not Ichel Alexandri because...
I don't... I know it might be Ichel Alexandri. Today nobody's going to do it.
Okay. Another basis is that, like, according to Ramban, that it was so good that you couldn't even tell that it was torn in the first place.
Look, it depends for whom, maybe, and I don't know. Okay.
Their expectations were low.
That might be.